something interesting is sure to happen. Well, I think you want to tell me who you are first. Mr. Rabbit? Then why did you ask the question?
Goodness, this is quite extraordinary.
Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?
But today is turning into the most curious adventure I have ever had.
Welcome to the Alice in Wonderland podcast. So this is a place for you to open your mind, let your sense of wonder, curiosity, and imagination loose. In particular, your curiosity. I love getting curious with different people. So I'm your host, Georgia Alice, and today I'm joined by Cara Bradley. So Cara is a body mind teacher, and she works with CEOs and elite athletes, and she shows them how to work in flow. She's also partners with numerous organizations, including the Flow Genome Project. And this is how we actually met through some of the work she's doing with them. And she's also the author of the book On the Verge. Now, I have to admit, I haven't read your book. So if we go down that path and talk about your book, Cara, I don't know what it's about. And maybe you might be able to tell us what that book's about. But I do know that your book... was it recommended by Oprah, or it's on the Oprah website or something like that?
Yeah. They took an excerpt of the book and posted it on their site, which was super fun and exciting.
Yeah, awesome. So I should welcome you before I ask a question. So welcome to the podcast, Cara. Let's get curious with you. So there's a question that I ask all of my guests, and it goes along the theme of the podcast, which is Alice in Wonderland. So the beautiful story of a young girl going on this, you know, ending up in this place, in this land where there's all these wonderful and interesting creatures. And I think our life's like that. There's all these people that we come across. So I'm a 7-year-old girl and I'm walking through Wonderland and I bump into Cara. And I say to Cara, hey, Cara, what do you do here in Wonderland? How would you answer that to a 7-year-old girl, not an adult, but a 7-year-old girl? How would you explain to them what it is that you do in your life?
Oh, wow. That's
about keeping it simple, right?
Yeah. What I would say to her is that I love to let my senses take in everything around me. And what that means is I love to feel fully alive. And the way that I have learned to feel fully alive and how I help other people feel fully alive is to be here now in this wonder, in this glory, in this magical moment, in the precious moments of our lives. So hopefully she would look at me with her little glittery glowing eyes and say, yay, let's play.
And I love that you just said let's play, because I think from some of the things that we've spoken about in the past and how I've seen what you do, there's a lot of play in your life, right?
Yeah, there is. It's, you know, for one thing, first of all, thank you for having me. Let me say that before I answer your question. It's so great to be here. I love your energy, and I've always loved just chatting with you. So this is great fun. And so, yeah, there's play because, you know, life is going by so fast. And I think I read this quote years ago, and, you know, sometimes we happen upon these phantom quotes when we most need them. And then when you try to find authors or sources, you can't. But the quote was, whoever wrote it, I think it was from, they said it was from the Bible, that Moses said to God, show me how short my life truly is so that I may learn how to live. And I feel like that. I feel like I want to know and recognize how precious and short life is so that I can show up and truly live every moment, even if it sucks. You know, how do I show up for a sucky moment? Mm-hmm. Because there's brilliance in the suck as well. So I think in that respect, it has allowed me to play more with everything, you know, play more in the kitchen, play more with work and with, you know, parents, aging parents with little kids. Life is going by really quickly, and it will be over. And so many of us, you know, will end up saying, crap, what happened? You know, where was I for all of that? And I don't want to feel that way.
So I love what you're saying there about play. So what would you define play? Because you're saying, you know, I just want to, you know, live life fully, and, you know, you've got aging parents. What does play look like with aging parents? What does play look like in those sucky moments? So how do you navigate those things and entwine little pieces of play into that?
That's a huge question.
Well, we've got plenty of time.
What comes to mind is this word lila. Lila in Sanskrit means divine play. So there's this divine dance that's happening all the time within us, between us and nature. You know, there's just this interconnectedness and this delightful interchange and exchange of energy and that's happening. And it sounds very esoteric as it's coming out of my mouth, but I think it's how we are as children, right? As children, we are less heady, so to speak, right? We're not thinking about things. We're not bogged down with chores and to-dos and relationships. And so we get to see the connection or get to experience the connection in a very lighthearted way. And, you know, that is play. So it's not necessarily, you know, kicking around a soccer ball or dancing in your backyard, you know, which...
Oh, sure, that would be nice, though.
That would be nice. But, you know, for most people, you know, I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, oh, yeah, I have no time to play in my life. Well, there's play in a conversation that you may have with the person at the checkout counter at the grocery store, or, you know, the person that is crossing the street when you're waving him on and he's waiting for you and there's this delightful exchange. You know, so when we can get out of our busy mind, as I call it, right, which is just our ruminating mind and our worrying mind, when we can just allow ourselves for a moment to just look up at the sky, to look up at the sun, to meet somebody's gaze, then I think we instinctively know how to play with it, how to play in the moment.
So with the work that you do, because you work with CEOs and athletes, and this play concept is beautiful how you've just described it, because it's available to us constantly. So how would somebody start to move out of that busy mind? Because you are so right. I'm surrounded by people, and there'll be people listening that are going, oh, I don't even have time to listen to a podcast, right? Or I don't have time for this and this. But how do you help people move from that busyness into that state where they do remember to look up at the sky or make eye contact with somebody or just give a smile? You know, what are some tips for that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, so what the way that I start with people in understanding how to do this. So the tagline of my book is wake up, show up, and shine. Wake up, show up, and shine. Well, what does that mean? How do we wake up? How do we show up for life? And, you know, what does it mean to shine? Right. So I'm not going to go through all of that from the book. I just wanted to use that because waking up can simply mean recognizing moments throughout the day when you feel lit up, when you feel alive. There are moments that are happening all day long when we are fully present, awake and aware. And when we're fully present, awake and aware, what research shows is that we're happier. We actually feel lighter and brighter, even if it's a challenging moment. So what I encourage people to do is start to notice when you feel most alive. What makes you come alive? So I'm going to ask you that question. Is that okay if I ask you a question?
Yeah, go for it.
So I have two questions. First is, what does it feel like to be fully alive for you, Georgia?
For me, it's just a sense of calmness and peace and knowing. It's this aliveness for me is just, it's like a faith, but not a religious type of faith. It's just fully alive and expansive. It's a hard sort of, it's hard to describe, but that's what it would be. It's this real, just this knowing that everything's okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. So the second question, I promise I only have two.
You're the
interviewer. what makes you feel fully alive?
Well, most of the time it's nature or connecting with other people. However, sometimes it is those moments of solitude.
Mm. Yeah. So today there'll be moments when you're going to be outside or you're going to see the sun come through the window or you're going to connect with another individual or you're going to have some quiet time. So in those moments, even if it is 10 seconds, recognize what it feels like in your body, in your heart, in your mind to just be fully alive, right? So I call these moments of high definition and high voltage because we feel more, we smell more, we see more, we taste more. We, like a kid, right? Like a kid, like licking that ice cream cone, just totally immersed in licking the ice cream cone. When we have these moments of aliveness, it's actually just being present, right? We're not really taught how to be present. So I use aliveness in replacement of being present. When we can start to glimpse moments of aliveness throughout our day, guess what happens? We start to notice them all over the place. Like all of a sudden, and I have people telling me this all the time, it's like, oh my gosh, I noticed that playing with my dog makes me feel alive. Or I noticed that my first cup of coffee by myself with my book makes me feel alive. When you start to recognize aliveness, you'll start to see it all over. And I call these glimpses. And these glimpses start to, after a while, they start to lengthen. And they start to become more experiences, like sitting on the beach or looking at the night sky or looking, holding a child or holding a parent or someone that's sick. Like there are these moments. So I think we could just start with that because we can all do that. We can all do that.
And I think too, as we continue to do that, we notice them more. And what I've noticed personally in my own life, because I do experience that a lot and I'm very present with them, with those moments, is that I then start to crave more of them. So what I'm accepting in my life, I give myself more permission to say no to things that don't have that inkling of aliveness in them. Why am I doing this? Why am I, staying late in the office for those people who work in the office? It doesn't make me feel alive. And what's the end benefit? And you start to wake up to why you're doing the things you're doing as well, and then start to question those. And we have the ability to change. But I love what you're saying there about this, those moments, those little moments, they're already there. People are going out looking for these things, and some people do it through they're looking to feel alive, so they will think that maybe drinking a lot of alcohol or maybe taking some form of drugs or whatever it might be helps them connect with that when those moments are there everywhere. Yeah. And what simple questions that you ask just to uncover that, like the question that you asked me, and there are three things that cost me nothing.
That's right. They're all, most of the time, they're free. They're looking at the ocean or they're cooking for my family. I mean, these are the questions because I hear them from all ages. Mm. I did a bunch of talks in some assisted living homes last year. I somehow got on the circuit, the senior circuit, and it was great. And I'd walk in and, the be maybe 40 or 50 seniors who are living in this in these residences. And they come in with their walkers and their, you know, some would sit up front because they couldn't hear very well. And I asked them those very same questions and they said the same things, you know? So instead of it, instead of playing with my baby, it was playing with my grandchild or, you know, knitting or whatever it was. And it always lights up the room. You know, and then there's the other question, which is, well, what does it make you feel alive? Just like you just said, Georgia, what does it make me feel alive? You know, and of course, people will say, well, I'll ask you that third question. What doesn't make you feel alive?
Oh, gosh, what doesn't make me feel alive? people that complain. but yeah, negative people doesn't make me feel alive. Lethargy, just having nothing to do and no purpose does not make me feel alive. What else is there? Definitely eating processed food and all those sort of things. And right. Being in a room or a situation where there is no natural light or there is no connection to the outdoors. They're some of the things that don't make me feel alive. And they're the things that I move away from where I can.
Yeah. Exactly. And a lot of people will say the news or traffic or lot of times negative people, social media sometimes, you know, for people say it doesn't make me feel alive. So, I mean, a lot of times people say work, you know, and I think it's really important for us to recognize that. Now, sometimes, you know, if we're working in a small room without natural light and that doesn't make us feel alive, it doesn't mean we go quit tomorrow, but we recognize that. That what makes me come alive is being in the sun. And so we just start to navigate our lives in a way to feel more juiced, to feel the juice moving through us more, you know, to steer away from negative people or to call people out on that. And so, and like what you were saying before, Georgia, is that this is really simple. And what I do, you know, every day when I move people and I help them establish breath practice or meditation practice is giving people the permission to recognize that they have the tools already. This is such common sense that the only reason why we don't believe it is because Madison Avenue, as we say here in the States, like because the marketing departments of these, you know, multinationals have become so clever to make us recognize or believe that we need to buy something to feel better, right? When we were born innately bright and awake and clear and calm and at ease, and we just knew how to play from the get-go. So,
yeah, I love that connection that you've made with advertising companies, and it a lot of people don't realize that they're very clever in what they're doing, so subliminally making us feel certain ways so that we do want the things that really we don't need, and they're starting to mask our inner ability to actually feel alive. And you're right, we think we need a certain kind of watch, car, house, clothes, shoes, handbag, whatever it might be. And if you really unpack it all, yeah, maybe you do need those things, but a $5 watch on eBay is going to tell the same time as a 30,000 Rolex, right?
Right.
So, and they're both going to do the job for you, but it's giving your power to an external thing to make you feel a certain way when really you can have that feeling yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where that busy mind comes in. So we accumulate thoughts just like we accumulate stuff. And we accumulate belief systems and emotional habits and patterns. And so we end up, you know, as we get older, we just carry around a lot of stuff. And that stuff just dims us. It mutes our experience of life. And when we start to feel muted and dulled, we tend to start passing over moments just to get to the next moment or the next TV show or the next meal. And this is how I was saying before, we start speeding by life. Mm. So to unclutter, to declutter mind, to declutter our body, to really look at our belief systems, and also to declutter our environment, our physical environment, can be hugely liberating. I mean, coming back to a baby, right? Babies come in with nothing and we leave with nothing. And there are such beautiful processes. And in the middle, we just like buy a lot of stuff.
So if you had someone come to you and they were in that dullness of life, what would be some of the things you would do to help them uncover and unpack and you know, take out those things that are weighing them down? So is there a process or is there some steps that you would take someone through that maybe our listeners could learn from?
Well, I'll be snarky and say, go for a walk, because the walk always does the best. Just cleans us out and clears us out, and it's free and it's good for you. So I tend to teach three things in my work. One is movement. The second one is breath work. And then the third one is some type of contemplative meditation practice. So simply put, I call it move, breathe, sit. Right? Move, breathe, sit. We can do it in a minute. We can do it for an hour. But by moving our body and by breathing rhythmically, and by pausing in stillness or solitude or silence for a minute or two or five, we can start to shed tension and accumulation in our body mind. So I call it the body mind. Moving and breathing in rhythm, such as walking or running or swimming, or even just standing at your desk and swinging your arms in a rhythm with your breath, can shift our state from being chronically or acutely stressed to a coherent state of being. And coherence simply means a balanced state where our systems are entrained or synchronized. And you know, that comes back to how we met, which is flow. When our systems are synchronized and our body's humming and our mind and body are kind of moving together, the brain waves and the heart waves are moving in a rhythm, we feel better and we do better. So, and it's not that far off for any of us, because if you're listening to this, you're breathing, you know, and if you're listening and breathing, you're probably able to move something, you know, move your arms or move your legs. And just by moving arms and legs together, like a Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga practice, or just doing it at your desk, can help you to soothe the very, very busy mind and to come back to center.
Yeah, and I could sit here and listen to you all day. And I was just sitting here thinking about, you know, the people that I know in the circles that I move in. A lot of people live the corporate life, and I'm saying a lot, it's not everyone, I'm generalizing here. And they feel like they just don't have time for these things that are actually going to help them. And I love what you said there, that you can do these things sitting in your desk, you can do these things sitting in the car, in traffic, you can do these things in the shower. So you can actually integrate and make these things part of your life as well. So how does this movement piece, how does that help unclutter some of the baggage that we have? So we're taking on, as you're saying, you know, we're born with nothing and we end up dying and we take nothing with us, but we've got all these beliefs and these possessions and everything that we have. So these beliefs that weigh us down, is there anything that the movement helps shift those, or is there another practice that helps sort of move through these thoughts that are potentially toxic for us?
It's great. Yeah, it all helps. Let's put it that way. Moving, breathing, and sitting in silence and stillness, mm-hmm. being outside in nature. But specifically, so like I said before, what I teach, I call them mini wins, especially in the corporate world. These mini wins that we can do that may take us a minute to shift our state. Just getting up every 20 minutes from your desk is hugely helpful. I mean, we know now that smoking or sitting is the new smoking. That sitting all day is really not good for us in many, many ways. And we don't breathe as deeply, you know, the blood flow's not moving as vigorously as it should. Just getting up every 20 minutes, taking a phone call standing instead of sitting, or doing some knee lifts or some squats. And, you know, it sounds funny, but we're talking about our health and well-being. You know, just moving our body, going to get a glass of water, can have huge benefits for us both mentally and physically. So that's one simple thing that we can do when working. And we've got these glorious, you know, smartphones, and they all have timers on them. And so you can just continue to keep that timer going every 20 minutes to a half an hour and make it, you know, give yourself a 3-minute break to move and breathe or to just close your eyes. Mm. And we've got all this blue light and this screen light and this artificial light to just close your eyes for 2 minutes in between tasks or after a meeting is a reset button. Now, again, like we said before, why don't we know this? Because it's free and it's simple. And
can patent it, right?
That's right.
Close your eyes. I've got the close your eyes method for 2 minutes.
That's right. You can't package it. You can't, you know, create a course about it. But so that's why I call them these mini wins, because they're really simple and they're so at the tip of your nose all the time. So if we can just keep resetting ourselves back to balance and coherence, then our systems, like you were saying, what does this do for you? Our systems, nervous system begins to reset itself to be more habitually balanced as opposed to habitually edgy and kind of on alert all the time where most of us live.
And that's one of the things too, innately within all of us, the body's amygdala, that's the fear response, puts our heart rate up. This stress can happen by anything. It doesn't have to be real fear. We can imagine fear that what's my colleague going to say? What's my partner going to say? What's going to happen when I can't pay a bill or whatever? And what this is, these fears, we constantly stay in this raised level of vibration, which is not healthy for us. This causes the ongoing stress. But what you're saying here is you can have these mini wins, and the more you use these mini wins, you're starting to recalibrate yourself for more, I'm going to say flow, but more coherence is probably the right word, more coherence. And the more you put these little mini wins in your day, the more you're going to habitually be calmer.
Yeah. And you know, it's like riding a bike. So when we first learned to ride a bike, we had the training wheels.
Some of us did. I was too old. I never had training wheels when I grew up.
You didn't have training wheels. So those training wheels kind of helped us to know when we were going too far off balance. Mm. But after a while, right, we just kind of learned how to tip our right shoulder down, or how did we learn to do that? I mean, that's brilliant, right? How did we learn how just innately to find balance on our bicycle? We have that capacity in us still to be able to know when we're going off balance and to just recenter. And sometimes recentering is a couple of deep, coherent breaths, which I'd like to teach you in a moment. Sometimes rebalancing is, for me, a lot of times it's just being quiet because I'm noise sensitive. I feel like if I'm in noise too much, like I need to just shut it down for a minute or two, and that really helps, or to close my eyes. Sometimes it's water. Sometimes it's fresh air, right? Sometimes it's food or a nap. Like, these things are simple. But when we start to be able to read our body, like we read a book, like read our body, what is my body saying to me right now? What do I need? Okay, I need water. I'm going to get up and get water. Because knowing if I get too far off balance, I'm going to fall, just like on the bike. I'm going to tip. And falling may mean saying something that you shouldn't have said, right? Falling may mean doing a stupid thing or bumping into something, dropping your phone and keys, right? Missing a digit on a spreadsheet. So we want to stay balanced because that's where we're sharpest, clearest. So we're just starting to become more body sensitive and allow our intelligence to inform us when we're going off balance.
So you mentioned there you're going to teach us, not just me, but the listeners, a breathing technique, which I want to get to, and I'm going to make sure we do that. So I understand where you're coming from around this being able to read our bodies. And it's something that I've been able to do a lot more as I've got older, when I had no idea what it was, 10 years ago. So if there's people out there now who actually don't get what you're talking about, how do we recognize these signals? How do we know that, oh, hang on, my body needs water, it doesn't actually need a chocolate bar? Or how do we know that, oh, okay, I need fresh air? You know, how do people get to recognize that so they can self-balance? Is there a trick? Is there something to listen to? How do you get that ability to read your body?
That's great. So it comes back to what we started with, was aliveness. Right? Do I feel alive right now? Do I feel steady? Do I feel busy? Just starting to ask yourself questions. Excuse me. Just like you would ask a child, what do you need? Right? If a child is cranky, you ask, what do you need? Or how are you feeling? And so we start to ask ourselves those questions. And listen, our state is the number one thing we should be paying attention to, because from our state of being, we are putting forth into the world. So if I'm feeling tired and cranky, guess what I'm going to put out into the world? So for me to be my best out there, I need to prioritize my state of being. And unfortunately, in our culture, that sounds very selfish. Oh, I can't be that selfish. It's actually selfless, because the greatest gift we can give the world is to be balanced, steady, clear, calm, and fully alive. To have all pistons firing, because then we're going to show up for our kids. You know, then we're going to show up. We're going to, our senses and our reflexes are going to be so sharp enough to be able to read other people in the conference or at the board meeting or during the sales meeting. You know, we want to be balanced, steady, open, so that we can serve and do our best out there. So it just starts with asking, you know, every so often, every time you transition from a task, what do I need? What's the best thing I can do right now? What's the one thing, the most important thing right now that I need to do? So, and it's simple, and we already have the mechanism to be able to know that. This is what really pains me, Georgia. If there's anything that pains me, that breaks my heart, is that we've lost trust in ourselves and our incredible intelligence.
Yeah, and we don't realize that the intelligence within us, this innate intelligence, knows it is intelligence. So, you know, if I cut my hand and I go to a doctor, the doctor doesn't heal my hand. My body heals my hand. This is innate intelligence, knowing what to do. So if we can stop and listen to ourselves, we'll know what we need. And I'm going to use the word heal, but it's more to be alive, I think, is your words for it. To be fully alive, your body knows what it needs. It's intelligent. And you've got to learn to listen to it. And I think what you're saying there is really powerful, is to ask, but then stop and listen and trust the answer. Because sometimes the answer you get, you might go, what? Well, I need to go and shut myself in a dark room. Yeah, maybe you do. Well, I need a 5-minute nap right now in the middle of what? Well, how do I make that happen? You know, your body will know what it needs, and it'll tell you if you're ready to listen to it, right?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. You know, I'm working with this coaching client, and she has had has suffered a lot with anxiety and has had a hard time calming herself down. And so we've been working with these mini wins, you know, little things. So she has her phone go off once an hour, and she pauses and stops and asks herself what she needs. And so, you know, we've been working through it. She's doing super well. And the other week I spoke to her, And she said, you know, I took a 10-minute nap. And I said, oh, that's great. She said, no, you don't understand. I haven't napped in probably 20 years. And now, taking a nap wasn't anything I told her to do. She just listened and had the time in her day and went and laid down. And so that's the intelligence. That's not me, the coach. That's her, her body. We all have this capacity.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you know, coming back to our breath is the one variable that we have direct access to that can change our autonomic nervous system immediately. So that's a mouthful, you know, maybe for some of you listening. Our breath is the bridge that that gives us the opportunity to really shift at a very deep level. And when our nervous system shifts, other systems shift. So just breathing in a way that I'd love to tell you about and why it's so helpful can help you in a traffic jam, in a argument with your partner, you know, any moment when you're anxious about a phone call that's coming in. Just finding a deep, coherent breathing pattern for a minute can help shift everything.
So let's learn this. Let's go deeper into this.
Okay.
Let's go down the rabbit hole of breathing.
Excellent. So just before we go through the practice, I'd like to just tell you a couple of things, because these are important to understand. Every time you inhale, your heartbeat or heart rate goes up. So every single time. So everybody just take an inhale right here. And you can exhale, and I'll explain a little bit more. So every time you inhale, your heart rate goes up. And when your heart rate goes up, your stress response is activated. Your stress response in your nervous system is that fight, flight, or freeze. Fight, flee, or freeze. And so there's a whole host of things that's happening within our body when that happens. Every time we go on alert, there is this stress response. So we inhale, go ahead, do it again, and our heart rate goes up. Okay, so now we're going to exhale. And what would you imagine happens, Georgia?
The heart rate goes down. You can actually feel it.
Right, your heart rate goes down.
You notice the body changes. So as I'm inhaling, my shoulders go up slightly. Now, when people are stressed, you find that they wear their shoulders as earrings.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you can really notice that as you're exhaling, that drops and you can feel things.
Right. So your heart rate goes down every single exhale of your entire life. This is what's so fascinating. And so what happens then is your parasympathetic or your rest and digest system is activated, or response, right? So inhale, our body goes to alert. Exhale, our body goes to ease. Inhale, alert. Exhale, ease. And this is happening our entire lives, right? So if we're breathing deeply and rhythmically, a nice balanced inhale and exhale, then this system finds its way to balance. So alert and at ease comes to balance. There's a little bit of both, right? So what happens for most of us in our, especially as adults, working adults, what's happening to our breath most often, would you say?
Oh, we're inhaling.
Right.
Oh, there's a bill, and you can feel that. Yeah, you can feel that inhale and that the stress response.
Right. So what happens for most of us, probably all of us living in, you know, fast-paced societies, is that we're not exhaling enough. We've actually forgotten how to exhale fully. So let's just do, we're just going to take two breaths together. So take a deep breath in. And a full breath out. Inhale. Exhale. You can start to just breathe on your own. When we forget to exhale fully, our heart rate doesn't come down quite enough. And so what happens is we end up stuck in that stress response. We end up stuck in the alert phase. Because our system isn't allowed to come into the resting mode. And so that we just become chronically stressed. And most of us, I mean, research says that, or shows that most of us are just living in a low state of chronic stress. And so we can start to shift that needle and move the needle just by teaching our body, retraining ourselves to exhale. And so that's what coherent breathing is. Coherent breathing is to breathe in and out in a rhythmic way, in a balanced way, that's about 5 to 6 seconds per inhale and 5 to 6 seconds per exhale.
And is there a time that we need to be holding the breath? So we're inhaling, are we immediately exhaling or?
Yeah. Yeah, you can just allow the breath to naturally round. Mm-hmm. What I would suggest, there's great stuff on YouTube. If you just Google coherent breathing, there's great little practices and they have all kinds of things like gongs and chimes to help pace yourself. Children are about 4 seconds and most of us will probably have to start at about 4 seconds because we're out of shape, right? Our diaphragm, which is a muscle, is atrophied. So we have to actually strengthen our breathing muscles again. But doing so for 2 to 3 minutes, I do this in organizations all the time, and people can't believe the state shift in just 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's powerful. I know I've done it in one of the workshops I ran last year with a group of people, and we actually had the heart math monitor there, and had somebody on it, and they noticed just the change in the heart rate, the coherence, and then the person was just feeling, they were gone from a place of stress to feeling quite calm in a matter of minutes. And it was just breath work. So what a beautiful technique. And it's simple. Again, it's free.
And it's free. Yeah. And if you like to geek out on it, Stephen Elliott, I believe his website is coherence.com. And he talks about, he's done a load of research on just this simple method that you just learned.
Beautiful. So Cara, I've absolutely loved having this chat with you today, and you've given so many gems to our listeners. If you were to leave them with one thing to help them either have more play, more coherence, more balance, whatever it is, what would you recommend for people? What would be your parting comments if you could just say one thing to people and you knew it would help them? What would that be?
Start to recognize these glimpses of aliveness. They're all over the place. They could be in the soap bubbles when you're washing the dishes. This glorious world that we live in is full of magical moments. And I believe it was a Keats quote, or it might not be, but he has been given the accreditation of having written it. And that is that the world is full of magical things just waiting for our senses to grow stronger. And those senses, when they grow stronger, we start to sense aliveness. And in sensing aliveness, we start to notice when we're not alive. And that's when we start to choose how to live.
Thank you. That is so, so, so wise. I love that. Thank you. So if our listeners would like to reach out to you for any way or grab a copy of your book or get involved with potentially even the Flow Genome Project, which I know you're involved in, or any other areas, what's the best way that they can contact you?
Yeah, so my website is carabradley.net, and that's Cara with a C, .net. There's all of my resources on there. I'm on YouTube and I have a podcast, a solo podcast right now, where I just chat about little practices like this for 10, 15 minutes at a time. So I'd say those are great places to start. And my book On the Verge has a lot of these practices that we talked about as well.
Excellent. So I recommend everyone jump on and grab the book. And I think I'm going to have to add that to my list as well. So thank you so much for that. So thank you. It's been absolute delight and pleasure, and very insightful as well, going down the rabbit hole with you. And we went in so many different directions. So thank you so much for your time and sharing your wisdom with myself and our audience.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Georgia. And thank you for all you bring. Your incredible positivity and joyfulness is really refreshing and beautiful.
Thank you. Well, there you go. What an awesome conversation with Kara. Some really great tips for you to find those moments in your life where the play is there, the aliveness is there. And I want you to really take note of some of these things. Don't just take it on as information and go, this is a really nice podcast. Start doing some of these things, because I guarantee you, if you start noticing life, the life that's happening around you, and remove yourself from even some of the things, like the things that make you not feel good, like the news or whatever it is for you, if you start moving away from those things and closer to the things that do make you feel alive, you're going to notice not only does magic turn up, you're going to feel so much better, and you're going to notice health within you. You're going to notice your attitude and your mental state is going to change as well. So if you need to go back and listen to Kara's wisdom again, by all means, drop onto her website, have a look at her book, reach out to her if you need to. Also the breathing technique that she mentioned, that is definitely something worth investing your time in and taking time to really concentrate on your breath. I know I learned something now. I did not know that as we breathed in, we were in a state of stress, and as we breathe out, we're in a state of coherence. That was new to me today. So now it's going to really make me concentrate even further on the type of breathing that I do. So thank you once again for joining me in the down the rabbit hole. And I look forward to bringing more amazing, extraordinary people to your ears or your eyes if you're watching us on YouTube. So I will see you in the next episode. Thanks for dropping by and thanks for being curious.
Today is turning into the most curious adventure I've ever had.